On today's Biz News briefing, Cyril suspends Police Minister Senzo Mqunu. Ian Cameron says Cyril has missed the opportunity to stop organised crime in South Africa. And Steenhuisen asks why other corrupt ministers aren't being dealt with. It's Monday, the 14th of July. This is your Biz News briefing. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. Cyril Ramaphosa has placed Police Minister Senzo Mqunu on immediate leave of absence after allegations of links to organised crimes were made against him. In Sunday's live televised speech to the nation, Cyril also announced a judicial commission that would probe the claims, which he said undermined the Constitution and threatened national security. He added that law professor Feroz Khachalia had been appointed as interim police minister. Mqunu has denied any wrongdoing, saying in a statement that he stands ready to respond to the accusations against him.
In order for the commission to execute its functions effectively, I have decided to put the Minister of Police, Mr. Senzo Mqunu, on leave of absence with immediate effect. The minister has undertaken to give his full cooperation to the commission to enable it to work properly. I have decided to appoint Professor Feroz Khachalia as acting Minister of Police. Professor Khachalia is currently a professor of law at the University of the Witwatersrand and is the chairperson of the National Anti-Corruption Advisory Council.
Ian Cameron, chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Police, says he believes that Ramaphosa could have acted much more decisively to restore law and order in South Africa. Let's dip into that conversation.
So I think the president essentially missed a golden opportunity last night to draw the line in the sand with organized crime. Now, as context, we must understand, in my opinion, police capture is real in South Africa. There's no doubt. The reason I say that is as follows. If you look at the last report from the Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime, it indicated that South Africa ranks 7th globally in terms of criminality. And that has moved from being 19th in 2021 to 7th globally in a space of, 4 years? And we've got a criminality score in the country of 7.18 out of 10. For us to reach this level of criminality, and specifically with regards to organized crime, the only way to get there is essentially through serious state involvement, you know, specific stakeholders in government playing a role to facilitate organized criminal activity. We are also now the third highest ranked country in Africa with regards to criminality. And ahead of us is only the DRC and, of course, Nigeria. So, I mean, that paints the picture. And if we then look at the president's response last night, so extremely underwhelming. So something that really bothers me of last night, that I'm still trying to realize whether he actually meant what he said, was that the commission that he appoints would determine who would be suspended or not in the relevant institutions. Now, obviously, we know that the president doesn't, for example, have the power to suspend a provincial commissioner or deputy national commissioner or anyone for that matter within the South African Police Service, apart from, I guess, firing a national commissioner or obviously, as we've seen now, with the minister being placed on special leave. But for goodness sake, I mean, take the country into confidence and say, I've spoken with a national commissioner. We have jointly decided to suspend X, Y, and Z. We're taking the following internal disciplinary steps. And while we're doing that, we're doing a criminal investigation into X, Y, and Z. But, you know, it has become I wouldn't say apparent, I guess it's what we expected, that we just kick for the sideline again. Many more questions regarding it, but I honestly think that we expected so much more. Maybe we're expecting too much.
That full conversation is available on Biz News TV. DA leader John Steenhuisen says he's waiting for Cyril to take action against the other ministers who stand accused of wrongdoing, considering he's set such a high benchmark with the firing of former Deputy Minister of Trade, Industry, Andrew Whitfield.
Suspension is obviously welcomed. However, I think South Africans have grown somewhat skeptical of commissions of inquiry. We're now almost 2 years down the track from the release of the Zondo Commission report without a single high-profile conviction. And so I think the President's made the right step this evening with the suspension. But the other question that remains unanswered is around the others in the Cabinet who have very, very serious charges hanging over their heads, but who remain in their positions. And I think a lot of South Africans are going to be asking themselves this evening, what is now the new measure that is used to determine whether people remain or not in the Cabinet? You've had the bar set incredibly high with the sacking of Deputy Minister Andrew Whitfield by the President. And I don't think many South Africans are asking themselves the questions about Ministers Mkabane and Simelane. Yes, Minister Mkhunu this evening has now been suspended, but we have others around the Cabinet table with serious question marks hanging over their heads. And I think South Africans are right to be asking the question, well, what about the others in the Cabinet?
KwaZulu-Natal Police Commissioner General Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi arrested Jacob Zuma in 2021 and has an impeccable record. BizNews' Chris Staines spoke to former police commander Willem Els, who is now with the Institute for Security Studies as a senior training coordinator in organized crime. Els worked closely with Mkhwanazi.
It's like a boil that just burst open. And the way, if you just put another plaster on it, you know, it's not going to serve the purpose. What you see on grassroots level, as you indicated, on social level, media as well, the general public is fed up of corruption, fed up of crime. It really affects everyone. So if they detect that there's no seriousness by the government and by the president to really address this thing, I think there might be some challenges.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people are threatening, literally saying white and black will riot together if the KZN general is not treated right.
Exactly. And there was also another discussion that I listened to, and they said, you know what, we might see a repeat of 2021 if the people feel that they're not been listened, heard. So we don't want to predict that. We don't want that because it was very criminal. But that is just something that boils over. But very interesting about General Mkhwanazi, if you think back about 2021, you know, when President Zuma was arrested and taken to escort, it was Mkhwanazi who arrested him. He went there, and he has his task force members there, and they were there to arrest him. So that just indicates to you that this guy, you know, he's straight walking and he's doing the right thing as a policeman in his heart. In his actions, he's a policeman in heart and down to the bone.
Right now, you can get the cheapest Forex rate around, right here, on Shift. Pay less for your dollars, pounds, and euros here, and get to shop more here, and do more here, and enjoy more ooh-la-la here. Shift also lets you trade and transfer currencies and buy shares in the world's best companies. It all happens right here on Shift. You won't find a cheaper Forex rate anywhere else, no matter where you bank. Download the Shift app today.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
South African Reserve Bank Governor Lesetša Ganyaho says he can't say when the possible new inflation target will come into being, as it will happen on the back of opportunistic disinflation.
Can't put a timeline. And that is why when you talk about being opportunistic means that you strike at a particular time, but you can't say when that opportunity really presents itself that you strike at that time. Conversations are ongoing between the Treasury and the Reserve Bank. They are at an advanced stage. The teams are working very hard, and without a doubt that we will arrive at some decision.
How do you balance, and as long as I've been interviewing you, Governor, we've had this discussion on debates, how you balance the growth and the containing of inflation and not damaging growth with overemphasis on inflation? I know you know this question well.
Remember what the mandate says. The mandate in terms of the Constitution says that we must protect the value of the currency in the interests of balanced and sustainable growth in the Republic. Underlying the doing word is protect the value of the currency. That's basically price stability. So the authors of the Constitution understood that price stability is not price stability for its own sake. Price stability is important for balanced and sustainable growth. For growth cannot be balanced and sustainable in an environment of price instability. And that is why the central bank is tasked with the responsibility of maintaining low and stable inflation, because low and stable inflation is in the interest of balanced and sustainable growth.
On the international business front, NVIDIA shares hit a record high. SeaPoint Research Partners analyst Jay Goldberg has the only sell call on Wall Street. Here are our Bloomberg colleagues with more on the story.
While NVIDIA might be the only game in town for a lot of these high-end chips, that might not necessarily be the case long-term. Explain.
Well, I think the issue with NVIDIA, it's a good company, but it can't keep growing forever. I mean, if anything, this is an underperform rating. If they've had this incredible run, they make good products, but that's all priced in, right? They've said they're sold out for the year. And once you're sold out, what possible upside is left, right? I think if you look at all the things that can go right, sort of drive further upside, it's a pretty short list. And the number of things that can go wrong is a large and growing list. So they're doing well, but I just think they've gotten so big, I don't see much room for upside this year.
Sounds like, Jay, that it's priced in. All of the good news is priced in. But take us to your negative catalyst list. You say it's a long list of things that could go wrong. What's at the top?
Well, I think there's a lot of little hiccups that are possible in the supply chain. The numbers this year are very much dependent on the ramp of their new product, Blackwell. Blackwell's a great product. It's going to have a big ramp. They're going to have a good quarter. But it's been very painful to get it out. There's lots of growing pains in terms of customer adoption, customer configuration, lots of little pain points throughout the supply chain. And they've worked through most of those, but we still have some ways to go. I think the other big function here is the fact that for the last 2 or 3 years, NVIDIA has been selling more than they could make. Like, supply has not been able to keep up with demand. And by the end of this year, all those issues get worked out. Supply is constrained. And what we've seen historically in semiconductors is when you have that change in equilibrium, when demand catches or supply starts to exceed demand, there's always a rocky road and a rocky transition. And I just think, semiconductors are cyclical and NVIDIA's run can't go on forever.
So what do you kind of model in terms of revenue growth? I mean, we had this phenomenal period in last year and at the beginning of the last fiscal year, something like 4 or 5 quarters of triple-digit revenue growth. The last few quarters after that have been kind of 70, 80, 90%. Are we talking about a downshift to what, like 50, 60% or something significantly lower than that?
I think what will happen is at some point they'll miss a quarter and we'll have to reset numbers. I think that's the most likely scenario, right? Where there's just too much demand, too much supply, more than they can sell. You know, if you look back a year ago, if you're a customer buying NVIDIA products and maybe you're taking too long to roll them out, so you had some excess product, normally you just tell your vendor, okay, hold off. I don't want to take this quarter's allocation. But if you did that a year ago, there would be a line out the door of other customers who would take your product. Mm. That line has basically gone away. And I think there's just sort of, there's lots of constraints beyond NVIDIA's control, things like access to power that are sort of slowing down or constraining the data center build out.
Right.
And I just think that's likely to impact numbers at some point.
also outside of their control is what happens with trade policy, though we know NVIDIA's CEO is on his way to China, heading there next week. Jay, we have just about 30 seconds left with you, but talk to us about the price target, $100. Shares were closer to 106 when you issued that price target. They're in the 160s now. Have you thought about bumping it higher?
Well, we'll see what this quarter looks like. Like I said, I think it's going to be some pretty big numbers. I think that does slow down later this year. I'll revisit my price target as it comes along, but I will say the whole sector has run, and there are other names that I prefer, things like Broadcom, which have actually outperformed NVIDIA since I rolled out on both of them. I have a buy on Broadcom. So I'll take a look at it, but I think we're you know, sick transit gloria. All glory fades. All good things come to an end at some point.
That brings us to the end of today's BizNews briefing. We'll be back tomorrow with more context on both the global and local front. Thanks, as always, for joining us.